Now it's time to turn to the scriptures, Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? We've been in this chapter for some time. I think we're nearing the end. But especially in this Thanksgiving weekend, it seemed right, or week, we should spend another week on this verse, God be thanked, Romans 6, 17. So let's read it. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. It's verse 17. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, who has made all things out of nothing and sustains all the planets, all the heavenly bodies, all that exists in predictable routes, movements, behavior. We have a God who is so great and so immense and so beyond, we would think it a travesty even to attempt to address Thee, save that we have been provided access through Jesus Christ. We confess that we all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's no way we can work ourselves back into innocency. So no way that we can be reconciled to a holy God, saved but by the provision that God has supplied. We believe there has been but one provision, the only one needed. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It is our deep honor to confess Him as Savior. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit's guidance, we will comprehend His love more, enter more fully into the power which has been provided to us to live lives that give God glory. We pray we'll be faithful to the gospel, that there are souls hearing this message that haven't obeyed the gospel yet. May today be the day that they believe on Jesus Christ for the saving of their soul. We thank You for the beautiful day. We thank You for the gift of the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit's guidance. We know we're all coming from diverse weeks. We have diverse needs. God is able to meet each one. He understands the need of a husband here, or of a wife, or a mother, or father, or son, or daughter, citizen, soldier, employer, employee. We pray, Lord, that You would take this scripture we'll be studying today and cause it to function as a sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and being a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And we ask finally, Father, that we would be given the grace to worship Thee more fully, more wondrously, more accurately than ever before, so that all that we are and all that we say and all that we do would be an expression of our gratitude to our God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Title of today's message is God Be Thanked, taken from Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Last time we examined this charge that all of us in our natural state are servants of sin. We saw that to be a servant of sin means to be in bondage to it, slaves to sin, having no will independent of it, wholly under its control, lacking power to resist it, subject to its demands, moved by its dictates, no matter how low and contrary to what is right, controlled, used, driven, dominated, and manipulated by the insurmountable power of sin. Jesus said in John 8:44 to the unredeemed, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. We saw last time that our servitude to this cruel master, sin, occurs on many levels. obvious addictions of which even we were aware but unsuccessful in breaking, gambling, overeating, wrong eating, drinking, smoking, drug abusing, game playing, internet surfing, obvious addictions. And then we said on a second level, there would be the less obvious, perhaps at least to ourselves, perhaps socially more acceptable addictions like worrying, fearing, distrusting, coveting, envying, complaining, gossiping. And then we said on a third level, this verse that we have all been servants to sin applies in that we have been self-asserting at the cost of wholehearted, happy living for the glory of God. We saw it in all the classic illustrations of disobedience in the Scriptures, starting with Lucifer in heaven, on through Adam and Eve, to Israel as a nation before and after their chastisement, on to the meekest man on earth, to us today. We saw that this woeful condition of slavery to sin not only plagues the entire human race as we are born in this world, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So not only do we see that the slavery of sin and plagues the entire human race, but that we saw the condition degenerates through time. We go from uncleanness to iniquity unto iniquity, to fruitlessness, to shame, to death. That's the progression we see in Romans chapter 6. And we saw that this characterization of all of us as servants of sin by nature is no odd or unbalanced or fringe, misconstrued doctrine, but a central, rock-ribbed, foundational truth repeated throughout the Scriptures. Even so, Jesus says in John 8:34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And note the context. There in John chapter 8, what just happened that Jesus would say this? That is, religious leadership tried to capture Jesus by catching in the very act two people committing adultery, casting the woman before Christ and all this crowd of people and saying, "Moses says we must stone such a woman. What say ye?" And Jesus says, "Stone him." Then they think they got him in trouble with the Roman authorities. But Jesus says, "Don't stone him." Then they think Jesus is going to be in trouble with the Jews. What does Jesus do? But he kneels down and starts writing in the dirt. And we read, in fact, if you would mind turning there, John chapter 8, starting in verse 6. He says, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." See, in verse 6, he stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Then he speaks in verse 7, then in verse 8, again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. "And they which heard it, being convinced by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst." One of the messages there is the endemic nature of sin. And all the Lord needs to do, it's just too unseemly to list all the sins. He writes on the ground. People read it and they're cut in their conscience and they walk away. And so there should be none of us who is unconvinced that we have been servants of sin. So that's a summary of what we discussed last time, but we don't end there. It is on that foundation of cognizance of our own history of imperfection that we can build our gratitude. See, the real takeaway from Romans 6 and verse 17 is not what we have been, but what God has made us. We were the servants of sin, past tense. There is a remarkable truth here, profound truth about God. That is this: God transforms servants of sin. God transforms servants of sin into servants of righteousness. God is the great transformer. We know this, yes? Do we not know that if redeemed, we have been changed, we are being changed, and we shall be changed? That all this changing is done not by the strength of man, but by the Spirit of God. Perhaps you've memorized Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by what? My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 4:6. So anybody here who has been redeemed, has been changed, is being changed, and shall be changed all the more. Let's go through those three categories. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we have been changed into a new creation. We've been given a new standing before God. We've been given a new hope, a new potential, a new purpose, new power, new profession, new perspective, new perception, new passion, new pain, new pleasure. All things are become new. We've been changed. Secondly, we are being changed. I remind you of Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So be being transformed. Yes, a new mind, the mind of Christ, is progressively being forged in us by the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. We have been changed, new creation. We are being changed now. God has taken that mind of ours and changing it. Be being transformed. We no longer see people from a human point of view. We see souls, spirits, heaven, hell, transience, eternity. We see with increasing clarity the vanity of the praise of men and the value of the praise of God. We see the wisdom of laying up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Counting all trials to be joy, all persecution to be blessing, all earthly gain to be dung, and the death of saints to be precious, and the route to the fullness of joy. I tell you, we're being changed. Thinking, our minds just being changed more and more and more as having the mind of Christ being forged in here. Our God is a transforming God. Anybody redeemed? New creation. You've been changed. New perspective, new plan, new perception, new pleasure, new pain, all's new. But you're also being changed, conformed to the image of Christ. And friends, we will yet be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Mystery is a theological term in the Scriptures. And it refers to a truth which God alone knows and those to whom He chooses to reveal it. Go to Matthew chapter 13. You're going to see this whole litany, one after the other, mysteries of the kingdom. Now our possession, previously hidden from humanity. And here is a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Change in our past, change in our present, change in our future. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We will be changed. Our change into the image of Christ will be then complete. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Romans 8:29 tells us we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. 1 John 3 and verse 2, John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be." You have to take this by faith that we are the sons of God, because you don't see it by looking at us outwardly. But he goes on to say, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Oh, I tell you, friends, we have a transforming God. "For you were the servants of sin. Now you obey from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God be thanked." God has changed us. God is changing us. God will change us. God is a transforming God. Reason to thank him. I mean, see it in nature. God takes dust, transforms it into a man. God takes a stone, transforms it into a fountain. God takes water, transforms it into wine. A rod makes it a divider of the Red Sea. A desert bush turns it into an everlasting torch. He takes a fig tree and makes it a curse. The jawbone of an ass makes it a weapon to slay 1,000. Takes the rib of a man and makes a woman. Takes the foal of an ass and makes it a secure ride for a savior. He takes the vomit of a dog, the slop of a hog, or a grave of bones and turns them into proverbs. And he takes the vilest sinner and makes them white as snow. We have a transforming God. What we're talking about here is Jehovah, the self-existing one, the one who needs nothing and can do anything. He says in Isaiah 45 and verse 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I, the Lord, do all these things." He can do whatever he wants with his creation. One of his names is Jehovah Rapha, R-A-P-H-A. That means the Lord who heals. This name was revealed at the time when Israel went to the bitter waters, hadn't drunk in 3 days, or out there in the desert. Now they get to the water, want to drink, and they find they can't drink it. Bitter water. But the Lord directs how it can be transformed into sweet water. He heals the water. So there's a revelation there to all humanity who go through deserts and come to bitter water. God can turn it sweet. He's Jehovah Rapha. Point is that there is no malady that God's people can experience, whether that malady be physical, emotional, intellectual, willful, or spiritual. Whether that malady be financial, medical, mechanical, political, educational, environmental, domestic or international, temporal or eternal, we say there is no malady but that Jehovah Rapha can transform it into good. There's a balm. There is a healing for the abused, confused, rejected, self-hating, ashamed, frightened, lonely, abandoned, worried, fragile, burdened, bewildered, bruised, battered, worn down, distraught, lowly, or lost soul. We have a transforming God. You see, we are studying today that God is to be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. We call upon the Spirit of God today to answer that prayer we find in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. That God would open up the heart, cardias, the eyes of the heart, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling. The transforming God calls you, Oh, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward that believe. That same power which raised Christ from the dead is the power that now works in us to the end of transforming us. We have a transforming God. Now, as we pray that prayer in Ephesians 1, how might the Holy Spirit thus enlighten us concerning this great God who transforms? I would say, at least in part, by a review of what He's done in the past. Read the Scriptures. What has God done with man? See, there's a remarkable truth here, a profound truth about God, that God transforms servants of sin. He transforms servants of sin into servants of righteousness. God is the great transformer. See, for example, Sarah. Sarah was barren until 90. But God transformed her into being, what's Genesis 17, 16 say? The mother of nations. God transformed Rahab, a pagan harlot. I mean, what are the first two letters of her name? R-A, Ra. She's named after the sun god of Egypt. And one can have compassion on anybody in any sin, but let's not be too willing to acknowledge Rahab as though she had no choice. I don't know, but you look at what we have there. She's got her own apartment, and she's got mom and dad and brothers and sisters. She's still got a good relationship with them. And yet, here she is in this occupation. Did she need to be? Nevertheless, the Lord took her, a pagan harlot, and set her into the honorable lineage of King David, and through David on to the Lord Jesus. God put her in the messianic line. Our God is a transforming God. He took a slave girl to General Naaman's wife and made her to be a testifier to the healing power of God through Elisha. He took Elizabeth, barren till, quote-unquote, well stricken in years, and transformed her into the mother of the greatest man ever born of woman. God took the Samaritan woman, had five husbands, now living with a man, not her husband. And God chooses to have the fullest revelation of the doctrine of worship in the New Testament given to her. The Lord took Mary Magdalene, possessed of seven demons, transformed her into a faithful witness, the first to witness the resurrected Jesus Christ. God took Rhoda, a girl at a prayer meeting, made her to be the announcer of God's miraculous deliverance of Peter. God took Jacob, a deceiver. You know, Jacob means a deceiver, a tricker, a liar, a usurper. Jacob, a rascal, until how old? Do you know how old he was when he wrestled with God? Would you be surprised to know that when Jacob and Esau had their last trouble and Jacob stole Esau's blessing from dad, they weren't just rambunctious kids who haven't grown up yet. Well, maybe they hadn't grown up yet, but they're in their 70s. And when Jacob wrestled with God and prevailed, he was in his 90s, if I count the years right in the Scriptures. And so he'd been a rascal for a long time, longer than most of us will live. And yet God changed him from being Jacob to being Israel. Jacob means usurper. Israel means prince. Prince of God. I tell you, we have transforming God. So we see with Sarah, Rahab, slave girl, Elizabeth, Samaritan woman, Mary Magdalene, Rhoda, Jacob. Let's go on to weak Gideon. Gideon, we see him poor, hiding, afraid, describes himself as the least in his house. Yet God made him a judge to deliver his people. We look at Jephthah, of illegitimate birth, cast out of his own community by his own half-brothers, disdained him. God raised him up to be a judge mighty in victory. Look at David, watching sheep while his brothers warred. God raised him up to be a mightier warrior than the king himself. Look at Solomon, the son of arguably a conniving woman, Bathsheba. God turned him into Jedidiah. You know what Jedidiah means? Beloved of God. God made him to be the wisest man who ever lived. Look at Nebuchadnezzar, intensely proud, pagan, one of the greatest rulers in the history of the world. God transformed him where he would acknowledge the everlasting dominion of God. Artaxerxes, pagan king over the known world, God transformed him to funding the rebuilding of Jerusalem. It's closer to the Lord Jesus, James and Jude, two of the half-brothers. Jesus had four half-brothers. James and Jude, there was a time almost to the end there where they did not believe in Jesus. God transforms them to be two writers of the Bible. Look at Zacchaeus, hated tax collector, crook. He gets transformed by the grace of God. He gives half of all of his possessions to the poor. And then anybody he's rooked over the years pays him back four times. Transformation. Look at the apostles. By and large, bungling, unperceiving, afraid. God changes them to be brave martyrs to the last. Look at Paul. Zealous hater of Christians. God makes him the greatest spokesman who sees himself as the chief of sinners, greatest spokesman for Christianity. Friends, we have a transforming God. God be thanked. Amen? God be thanked. But God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Everybody here is redeemed. It's a work of God. Everybody here who's been redeemed has been changed, is being changed, and shall be changed into the very image of Jesus Christ himself. This is a day to be thankful. Are you not thankful? Let's pray. Oh, God be thanked. Oh, that the Spirit of God would lead us as we consider the Word of God, to see that Jehovah Rapha is able to transform anybody, any way that he wills, and his will is perfect. We thank you, Lord, for every redeemed soul, that they have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son, and are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We thank you that you're now at work, both to will and to do of thy good pleasure in the hearts of Christians. We thank you that we are being transformed away from the world and more into the mind of Christ. We thank you that we have this great hope before us, that one day the transformation will be complete and we will be made as the Lord Jesus is. Oh, that praise would well up in our hearts, and we would all say thank you to our God. We conclude, Lord, by asking if there's any soul here that cannot say thank you because they've not received Christ the Savior yet. May this be the day they express their gratitude for a Savior who died in our place, who took our judgment upon himself, provided the means by which we who are guilty in sin can be declared righteous by faith in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.